This is Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station, part of the Attention Talk Network. Its sister stations include Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station, our subscription-based newsletter, Attention Talk News, your ADHD news source. Each media channel can be accessed at their respective URLs, attentiontalkradio.com, attentiontalkvideo.com, and attentiontalknews.com. Keep up with all the media channels on our Facebook page, found at facebook.com/attentiontalkradio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Welcome, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, Attention and ADHD Coach Jeff Copper. We got a great show for you tonight, Surviving the Summer with ADHD Children and Families. And with us in our virtual studio is Jody Sleeper Triplett. Jody's been a past guest of ours and a great speaker, and I can assure you we've got some great content tonight. Before we get into it real quickly, tonight is Wednesday, June the 25th, in the year 2014 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We've got a few announcements that I want to kind of go through real quick. One is just about a month from now, actually right out of about a month from now, the Attention Deficit Disorder Association Conference is going to be held on July the 24th through the 27th up the road from us in Tampa, Florida in Orlando. It's going to be a great event. Last year they had their conference in Detroit after having a small hiatus. It was a great event. I know it's going to be good. If you're in the area or really anywhere listening to this and you want to go check out your tribe, you need to go come to the conference. To get information on that, go to add.org. Also, the annual CHAD conference, it's not too far out to start planning for that. That's I think it's the second weekend in November, or just it's early part of November. It's going to be in Chicago, Illinois this year. I know that I'm going to be there, and I'm sure our guest Jody will be there. Actually, I think Jody's actually going to be at the ETA conference as well, as we just mentioned. To get more information on the CHADD conference, go to chadd.org. And as we have been publicizing, there is a new website called ADHDfund.com. It's about crowdsourcing to raise money. What that really is trying to get money in to do research that's not earmarked by somebody who has an interest in whatever the project is. Dr. Barkley had it written to me, asked me to kind of promote this, and I think it's a really good thing because there's lots of really, really good things that need to be researched, but if there's not a sponsor, many times there's a conflict of interest or there's an interest on that side, these other projects don't get done. So we encourage you to go check out that website. I think that's the end of the announcements. Again, tonight we've got Jody Sleeper Triplett. She is a master certified coach, a senior certified ADHD coach, and a board certified coach. She completed her core coach training at the Coaches Training Institute, an organization near and dear to my heart because I got trained there too, Success Unlimited Network, and the American Coaching Association, and continues to expand her knowledge through innovative workshops and coach training programs. Jody is a world-renowned expert in youth coaching and ADHD youth coaching. She's also the founder of ADHD Youth Coaching Movement and has been working with young people for 35 years. She also she owns and runs JST Coaching, and that coaching model is actually used in the Edge Foundation for the coaches for college students, and we'd like to get a real plug for them because the Edge Foundation has been a great supporter of ours for a bit over a year, and we're really happy to have them on, and we're really happy that Jody's been able to help train many of the coaches all the coaches that work in that model. Jody's first book, Empowering Youth with ADHD, Your Guide to Coaching Adolescents and Young Adults for Coaches, Parents, and Professionals, provides coaches, parents, and professionals with a powerful new guide for improving the lives of youth with ADHD through coaching. You can learn everything and more about Jody at her website at jstcoach.com. And with that, Jody, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Jeff. I'm really glad to be here tonight.
I'm really glad you're here, and I think we've got a great topic. Before you and I kind of got on to this, I'm in Tampa, Florida, My kids got out of school about a couple weeks ago, and we're in the middle of summer doldrums, and the dynamics have changed quite extensively since everybody was in school. And, you know, Jody, during the school year, there's a lot of stress, there's homework, and there's a stressful environment. And the summertime is quite different. So I guess, can we begin, can you talk about the differences in those, and let's talk about summertime brings some great things. There's no homework and not other pressure, but also brings some other challenges. So can you frame that out, and we'll go from there?
Sure. It's such a, in a way, it's exciting and it's a letdown at the same time when school ends. For the kids, it's great to not have to be on a schedule and go to school every day. As you said, no homework. For the parents, though, many parents are still working. So now they have kids who are home, and they can go off to work and do what they need to do, and their kids are involved in whatever activities are either planned for them, or maybe it's summer, so you can sleep in a little bit. And during the school year, by having the structure of what's happening Monday through Friday, maybe even on the weekends, you have sports, you have academics, you have other extracurricular activities, exercise, things that are pretty much scheduled into the day, which we know for children and teenagers with ADHD, it's really valuable to have that structure. So just imagine that, you know, they're all sitting around the dinner table, it's the last day of school, and somebody literally pulls the tablecloth off, and everything's all over the place. That's what it feels like. It's just, oh my gosh, what do we pick up first? So that to me is the big thing. So I can admit, I guess you're chuckling because you can imagine it in your own house, right?
The tablecloth just cracks me up because that was such a good metaphor. What do we do first?
Yep, it's hard. And then the question with that or anything else is, well, you have all these people and everybody's there looking at it, and you try to figure out, well, now that summer's here, what are the activities, the chores, the responsibilities that each person has, whether the stuff's flying off the table or it's just an average summer day? Because you can't let it all go just because school's out.
Yep. And, you know, what's interesting to me is those with ADD, sometimes they cling so much that they like structure, but at the same time they don't like structure. And I like how you said it, you know, it's excitement and letdown because, hey, you know, I don't have the pressure of homework and I can kind of relax a little bit. But that free time for the kids sounds good, but for the parents, to me, it's really tough. You either need to find those activities to keep the kids engaged, which many times is a lot of work, or you're the one that's actually got to provide that type of stuff. The other side of it is if you don't do that, many of them can be bored. And it's interesting because a little over a year ago, I got really into this notion of boredom, did some research, and actually wrote a couple articles with Dr. Ari Tuckman on the topic. And it was interesting because when ADHD kids are bored, they require more external stimulation, and it can create more problems. And when I say more problems, it's just not – they can get into trouble a little bit more. They become a little bit more impulsive, and they're bouncing off the walls, which creates a bigger problem for the parents in and of itself. Thoughts on that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that, that's always my concern. And it's hard to say to parents, well, summer's here and you want your kids to relax and enjoy themselves. And yet I want to scream to them and make sure they understand that even though you're giving your children a chance to do something different, have that set up with a structure. That without a plan, without some check-in, whether that's to you, a neighbor, an older child, someone who might be, if your children are in camp, even if they only go for half a day, there's a structure. Maybe you all get up in the morning, medication, breakfast, everything sort of as usual, off to camp until noon, and then things in the afternoon are a little more relaxed. That sets the pace for the day and really helps the ADD brain to be on track, as compared to sleep until noon and when I get home, we'll figure out what we're going to do. Huge difference.
So you got me. It sets the pace of the day. So what I'm hearing is that if you can get up and one good structure is to have particularly more structure in the morning to set the pace for the day, as opposed if you start off with that structure, it can have some inertia in the day, but if you don't, it can be problematic. Is that
right? Because what happens, and we all know the difficulty with sleep and with waking time. So if there is a schedule that isn't maybe, even if it's just an hour off from the 6 a.m. wake up during the school year. So they get up at 7, but there's some consistency around when medication is taken, when the kids are up. That way, when it's nighttime, you have fewer kids in a position of staying up all night because they're not tired. And that's what gives you the cranky, out of sorts, out of focus, combative children. And even teenagers, if they're, you know, if they've been up all night and they haven't slept well, and you try to get them up in the morning, eventually they'll get into that routine. But you need to stick with it so that the children have the ability to enjoy their day. I mean, imagine trying to go through a day without any sleep. I recently came back from France and Turkey, and even though there's this great thing called the no jet lag, they're homeopathic pills that keep you from having jet lag. Well, it's one thing not to have jet lag. It was another to have been up for 8 or 10 hours when I was supposed to be sleeping and then get up and arrive in Paris, which is wonderful, at 6 a.m. You got a whole day ahead of you with no sleep. It was an interesting day, but we had to remember that, okay, we're running on half steam. So our awareness was not as great, and so on. So it's the same thing with the kids.
Absolutely. Jody, we need to go to a break. When we come back, though, I want to just touch base a little bit on that notion of a medication holiday, because I know that's always a hot topic in the summertime. And then we'll come back and we'll talk about structures and some tips that you can give our listeners for kind of pulling for getting through the summer. For our listeners, if you want to contact Jody, if you'd like to learn more, and Jody, can they are there links to buy your book off your webpage?
There are.
Okay, so that's JSTCoach.com, and with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
We are CHAD, the nation's leading nonprofit organization serving the community impacted by ADHD. CHAD and Attention Magazine provide science-based information about ADHD to families, professionals, the media, and the general public. Attention is the only publication in which your paid advertising promotes the mission of leadership, advocacy, research, education, and support for the ADHD community. Interested? Advertise in Attention Magazine and CHAD's website at chadd.org or call 240-487-2314.
If you think you understand attention so well, then why are you struggling so much with it? Attention is as simple as it is complex to understand. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It's grossly misunderstood. Consider this. Focus on the wrong thing, get the wrong solution. In our new ebook, we'll share 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download our ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start understanding and managing your attention today. The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
Are you always late? The Time Timer is an award-winning time management solution that's helped millions of people with ADHD manage life better. As time passes, Time Timer's bright red disc disappears. Visit timetimer.com and use the discount code ATR for 15% off.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Master Certified Coach Jody Sleeper-Triplett, also the owner founder of JST Coaching, the coaching model used at the Edge Foundation, who has supported us for a long time. We're very thankful for that. Jody, before the break, I want to touch base on the notion of a medication holiday, and then I'd like to kind of get into some of your thoughts and tips that parents can use to kind of help them through the summer. So let's begin with the medication holiday. Is it common for those to take medication holiday, and what are your thoughts around that?
Well, it's common for families in certain situations. I would say that there are times when younger children need the break because some stimulant medications will impact, have a negative impact on growth. So they want to give their children a chance to get that out of their systems and to grow and have a chance, a chance to shift their level of development. For others, that's not an issue. What I find is that oftentimes the decision to take a medication holiday is not based on the doctor. It's what the parents feel like doing, like I don't want to bother. It's just too much for me to do. Not that they don't love their children, but they see medication as an academics-only helper. So if you're not in school, why do you need medication? And so they'll pull the medication out or they might do it for a period of time. And many of the calls I get from parents and have received from parents for the past 15, 16 years is, I don't know what's going on with my child. The summer is just horrible. And that's my one of my questions is, does your child take medication? Well, yeah, but during the summer, you know, we just want to give them a break and not have to do that. And some kids really beg for it. I just want to have my creative brain back. And I completely relate to that. But oftentimes, if the lack of focus and difficulty in follow through and attention to detail falls by the wayside because there's no medication, I would say, you know, I'm not a doctor, but if it's not working well, if life is chaotic because there's no medication, then consider putting your child back on medication. A lot of people like to test it out and see how it works, and that's absolutely fine. And ask your kids, for parents listening, ask your children, how does this feel for you? What do you notice is different? Because that's another way for people to find out, is this medication having a positive impact? And how does my child feel on or off it? You don't get to do that during the school year. So it is an opportunity, but if it creates more of a crisis situation and your child is just all over the place and irritable, that's something to look at.
I think you bring up a bunch of very good points. One, I think it's an informed decision or thought through. Two is, you know, one of the things for me I always talk about is, you know, sometimes you're like, I don't want meds because I don't want the long-term effects. I want some stuff. But there's the other side of it. What's the cost of sit down, shut up, stop, do that, and the negativeness that happens over a period of time that can impact those kids? And I know in coaching adults, particularly over the years, as I realize that ADHD impacts everything, sports, exercise, cooking, shopping, relationships, you name it. It's really kind of across the board. So it's just not confined to work or school. One other thing that you kind of touched on was medications, and you didn't specifically imply line is I have heard of a lot of adults sometimes if they want to make some adjustments in medications that they wait until the summertime to do it because they can observe it. It's not as impactful. Like you want to leave well enough alone while school's going on. Have you ever encountered some families that actually waited for the summertime to tweak or make adjustments?
Yes, because if there's any level of concern about how it might get in the way, they'll do it on spring break, they'll do it winter break, and summer is a good time to try that as well. The key is that the parents need to be available. So if you have children who are in their, you know, your kids are teenagers, and they're off doing their own thing, working a part-time job and so on, think about how you're going to monitor it. And teach your child to monitor, keeping a log, noticing how it is, and having that conversation on a nightly basis.
Yep. Awesome. So you got some tips for our listeners out there on how they can manage both things maybe that they can do and maybe some things that they maybe should shy away from?
Absolutely. As I said earlier, pulling out all the stops and just letting your children do whatever typically doesn't work very well with many children, ADHD or not, but pulling, you want to have some level of structure. So one example of that is it's now June 25th. Your vacation is going to start on July 15th. So between now and July 15th, what's the plan for getting ready for vacation? And it may seem to some of you like, wait a minute, you know, just got couple weeks to go, if not more, what's the deal? Well, the deal is that you're shifting and transitioning your children out of their norm, out of their home, to a new place. So in order to prep for vacation, it could be one of their assignments on the days that they're home and you're at work is, I'd like you to get on the Internet and take a look at some of the activities that we can do when we're down in Orlando, and write down what you might like to do, and we'll get together and talk about that. Once you've picked, you know, the place to go, well, what do you want to take on a vacation? What's important for you? And I have worked with kids who have tried to take everything. You know, it's the creature comforts. They want to stuff every suitcase they can. So if they start tonight, you can help them whittle it down before you go without as much difficulty. And so that's a big thing. Use baby steps to prepare for vacation. And for adults, do the same for yourself, parents. Know that you need to figure out what you have to have so that you're not running out the night before the trip. Especially if you're flying somewhere and you're not going to necessarily have access to a car, what do you need to buy? What are the things that you need? It's never too soon. So that helps keep it calm. Now, another trick is to consider activities that are fun for your kids, but build that in. Once again, anything fun can have structure to it. So it could be that it's like having a home camp that from 12 to 2 or 1 to 4, it's going to be art time, art or music or whatever it is. So they're doing something fun. You want to build in time outdoors. Try to set those play dates, as you mentioned, Jeff, and have activities available. They might get to choose from a few so it's not boring and not so structured. It's like, well, I don't want to do that today. And have some fallback activities for when it's raining out, because there's nothing worse than being stuck in a house together, vacation too, with a family when you don't have enough to do, because it's not going to be about computer 24/7. That will make all of you go a little hyper-focused, get a little hyper-focused, and have difficulty calming down and being together.
Absolutely. I like the home camp idea, particularly the structured day, because if you are a stay-at-home parent and you've got your kids around, if you did have like, okay, we're going to get up at 7 o'clock, we're going to have a little bit of routine, and, you know, you're going to have free time for like 30 minutes and maybe art from, you know, 10 to noon, and then we're going to catch up on summer reading or something like that. I think that really makes a lot of sense, because you, not only do you have fun, you can do that. It gives you some structure to kind of play around with that, and you can actually weave chores and stuff into it and keep some semblance, but not the pressure of like the normal school year and homework and stuff. So great tip.
Absolutely. And another thing, many of those people who know the JST coaching model and the work that we do, there's something called a personal coaching agreement, so that during the school year, the coaches work with the students to come up with their goals and the action steps to meet the goals. That can be designed for the summer as well. So if you're already working with a coach, ask the coach. They don't have to have weekly sessions if that's not best for your schedule, your finances, but you can certainly have check-ins. And the nice thing about the check-in is you can talk about, you know, what are the fun things you're going to do this week? That conversation about where are you having your vacation? When are you leaving? If you're going to camp, what kind of camp is it? What will you expect? The social skills issues around going to camp, all of that can be built into the routine so that there's some appointments with coaches or therapists, talking with friends and family, so that you can help your children as well as yourself have a much more relaxed summer because everything's covered.
Anything that comes to mind or key things I tell you what, need to run to a break again real quick. When we come back, I'm going to talk about maybe some things to stay away from, Jody, if something kind of comes to mind. Like, these are the things that are really kind of get you in trouble, because I've learned over the years sometimes it's not always easy to understand what you should do, but if you understand what you shouldn't do first, sometimes it really kind of helps you figure out what you should do. So, again, everybody, to learn more about Jody, to get her books, and hit the contact button, go to her website, jstcoach.com, and with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
You can't go off to school with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more
how an edge coach can help your student reach their full potential.
Are you always late? The Time Timer is an award-winning time management solution that's helped millions of people with ADHD manage life better. As time passes, Time Timer's bright red disc disappears. Visit timetimer.com and use the discount code ATR for 15% off.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Focus on the wrong thing? Get the wrong solution. Misunderstand attention, and you'll struggle with it. Get 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download the ebook today at AttentionTalkNetwork.com and start managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Jody Sleeper Triplett having a great conversation about surviving the summer with ADHD children and family. Before this last break, we talked about some of the things to do or to think about. Jody, can you tell us about some of the things that really are kind of no-no areas that actually can make things worse?
Absolutely. The first one, as I'm looking out the window of my office, is make sure to bring an umbrella wherever you go, because it just went from sunshine to downpour. That's the summer. Make sure that your activities can continue so that you're armed with things. If you go out thinking everything's going to be fine and we won't need anything with us, you'll need something. So just prepare. Actually, the first thing that came up in my mind when you mentioned that was ice cream. And I think of ice cream as a treat. But in the summer, I know that it's very easy to make that a daily thing. Okay, as soon as I get home, we're going to go get ice cream, or we're going to go get candy. We're going to go get some extra soda or Slurpees or this or that. Limit the amount of sugar and treats that you purchase, partly because of the financial burden when you think about doing it every day, but also make it special. So avoid the assumption and the expectation from your children of, but Mom, you know, we got it yesterday. Why aren't we getting it today? So set those rules in advance and don't just keep randomly giving out the goodies.
Brilliant.
Because that makes for a bunch of whiny children, and it's very difficult to manage.
And some expectations and hard habits to break and just some pushback down the road. That I really like that one.
Yeah. The other one is if you, in the summer, if your children have no place to go and you need to go grocery shopping or go to the mall, figure out what they will do and what the behavior is, so that if you're going to the mall and your kids say, well, I want to go to this store, that store, and you have a number of children, then you have to decide, okay, we're going to spend 10 minutes in your store, 10 minutes in this one, that one. Make sure that this is not an expectation of, hey, I need to go to the mall because your dad needs some new shirts. No, we're not going to spend money on each of you. This is about a purchase for your father or a purchase for your grandmother or whatever it might be, that not everybody gets something every time you walk into a retail store. Same thing with the grocery store. What is the limit? And even saying you get to pick one healthy snack.
Yep.
It's good to do all year long, but I find that more families have difficulty finding other families to connect with because of vacation schedules, routines, camps, et cetera. So you want to rely on yourself and think of these things in advance.
Yep. You said something there that I want to kind of expand upon for a second. That's expected behavior. And we did a show on this, God, like 4 years ago, and there's a difference between telling your kids what not to do as to what to do. If you tell them what not to do, I mean, I got kids, they're going to find a loophole. I guarantee it. They're smarter than you. They're going to figure that stuff out. But if you tell them what they are to do, it's hard to find a loophole. Like, you are to treat another person with respect is okay, almost anything you can do, was that really respectful? They might argue with a little bit, but it's just an interesting type of a thing. But when you tell them what you expect them to do and how you expect them to act, if you think about it, it's just a real powerful tool, Julie, that I've learned over the years and I use with my kids, because it really makes it difficult for you to get kind of duped. So I really like that tip.
Absolutely. I agree with you. It makes a big difference. So in that sort of in the same vein, you want to think about age-appropriate activities. So, and you might have a 14-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a 6-year-old. The 14-year-old wants to go to a movie that is appropriate for a 14-year-old, and he wants to go with his friend. If you have things to do, is it appropriate to say, well, you've got to take your little brothers with you? Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. Even if there's a level of responsibility there, what's going to happen if that movie's inappropriate? You're going to have to deal with the backlash of them mm-hmm. sitting in a horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
So think about that and maybe come up with another way for that to happen. It could be seeing a movie a little bit later in the day when someone else can be with the younger kids and so on. Also, if you are planning a vacation or a day out somewhere, even at a theme park, do what you can to make sure there are at least 2 adults, if not more, even if they're more adults than children, because that way you can split up and go to the different activities. And when your younger children or those who happen to have ADHD are really getting squirmy and they need to just go for a walk or a run or sit down for a while, you can do that without jeopardizing the safety and the fun for your other kids.
That's actually brilliant. And I want to just make a comment, Jody, on the age-appropriate behavior in vacation. One of the things that I've learned, I've got my kids are six years apart, which when you go and look for things to do based off of age, you know, my 18-year-old, he wants to go do 18-year-old things, which is not appropriate for the 13-year-old or 12-year-old at the time. And when you go on vacation, it can be really challenging. And we cracked this code a couple years ago where when we go on vacations in the summer, we always try to find another family. And like last summer, we ended up renting a houseboat on Lake Cumberland, which is up in Kentucky, which is a whole other story. But we took another family, and we brought a younger kid along to be my son. So my wife had the other woman to kind of hang out with. She had a couple teenage daughters and my teenage boy. They were out running around the jet skis. And then we had the 2 12-year-olds that were going off the slide off the back and the jacuzzi in the top. And I was the short order cook, and I was the driver, and I kind of run around. But everybody was kind of partnered up. And so everybody could do their own age-appropriate behavior and be observed at one time. And it was bliss. I mean, everybody was absolutely excited. But at the same time, I've been on some vacations where you go and maybe the teenager was engaged and my 13-year-old's just pawning it, and I had to be his own personal playmate. That can be exhausting after a while. So you brought up two very good points, but when they kind of come together, it's age-appropriate stuff in the same setting where everybody can have a good time. And I'll say that's not the easiest feat, but if you don't think about it, then you're going to find yourself in a situation that's just going to be exhausting to you.
Absolutely.
Need to kind of pull some things together. Any a few last tips or last thoughts for wrap this up?
Well, what I would suggest for parents is to sit down with your children and have a conversation about how summer will be different from the school year, and ask for their thoughts about what, you know, aside from I want to run around and do nothing all summer.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to structure, to help to explain to them that structure is not about punishment. Structure is not something that is going to make your summer really boring or tough or feel like work. It's to help you know what's coming up, and it allows mm-hmm. you to plan. It allows you to get some more good things into your day so that everybody understands that what's being created, whether it's week by week or for the whole summer at one time, that it's not something that is a detriment or because you didn't do something right. Because we know mm-hmm. so many children with ADHD are always thinking, yeah, it's because of me. No, mm-hmm. it's the best for the family. And that
yep.
by using those terms, that will make everyone feel like a part of it and not the cause of it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Jody, thank you so much for coming on our show. It's been very, very enlightening and helpful. I hope our listeners can take away a few useful nuggets. As a reminder, everybody, you can get Jody's book, learn more about her, even check out her coach training program at jstcoach.com. And with that, Jody, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, Jeff. Have a great summer.
Everybody, catch us next week for another edition of a great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.